My name's Michelle O'Woon. I'm carrying out this interview on behalf of the Wellcome Trust and the One Another Project. The object of the research is to compile a contemporary portrait of the UK. The date today is the 31st of July 2009, and the time is now 7:29 p.m. Could you tell me your name, your age, and where you come from, please?
I'm Sue Wallace. I'm 65 years of age, and I live in South Wales, although I was born in Birmingham, and I've lived Wales, England, Scotland, I've lived all over the place.
Did you come in from Wales today?
Not today, yesterday. I'm staying with my daughter in St Albans.
Can you remember how you first heard about the One Another Project?
I think, and I'm a bit doubtful about this, but I think I read about it in The Guardian. And I think I took a website address off it and went on and did it that way.
What was it, do you think, that made you want to take part?
I think it's... Well, I have a theory that it's something to do with getting older, that I kind of think I really have to seize the chance. And it was that kind of thing that got me going. I mean, how many other opportunities am I going to get? And I just thought it was such a wonderful idea, the fact that you don't have to be a monarch or a soldier or a general or whatever to be up there on a plinth. That, you know, I could do that. And then, of course, I thought, why not? And it was terribly easy to press the button that said, do you want to apply? And I did. And then when I got the place, of course, I didn't want to let it go. I really wanted to do it then. Yes, so it's... I think maybe I'm just trying to prove something to myself. But I also think that older people, older generation, does sometimes become a bit invisible, particularly women. And I thought, well, you know, there's one way to be visible up there on the plinth. You know, I don't think we older women should be left at home to do the knitting, as it were.
Expand on that, if you would, please. Invisible. What does that mean to you?
Well, I think it just means that it's very much, I think, a youth culture. And there's nothing wrong with that. I love young people, but I think sometimes older people do get overlooked. I mean, perhaps I shouldn't mention the fact that, I mean, there have recently been cases of women on television, older women, who have been maybe sidelined for younger, more beautiful women, and I think it's a danger that older women run into, so that's why I'm all for seeing them out, not kept at home.
Are you talking about women from all walks of life, or?
I think possibly women from all walks of life, yes. I mean, you know, the high profile things tend to be women, as you say, in the media, but I'm just thinking generally, you know, the little old lady, you know, they just, nobody seems to notice anymore sometimes, I feel.
When would you say you became aware of feeling like having these thoughts?
Fairly recently, I think. You suddenly, perhaps it's again to do with being retired, I think. You don't any longer have a role, perhaps. You don't have a job. You're not any longer a mother, which is a role which you have for a long time. I mean, I am still a mother, but you know, people wouldn't look at me and say, oh, she's a mum. I am a granny now, but I just feel in general that somehow you kind of just slip outside the radar as you get older. Perhaps that sounds terribly depressing. I'm not depressed about it, but I just think it's something that you could be aware of, you know, and it just struck me as another reason to apply. I thought, well, why not? I mean, I'm guessing, I don't know, but I would imagine the average age of participants is, well, quite low if you took the whole age range. I mean, it must be very near the top end of the age range, and I guess there aren't that many people in the older age range. I'm guessing, but I just think it would probably attract younger people more, and I'm all for making sure that we get our representation, so that's partly behind it.
Can I ask you what you're going to do on the plinth with your hour?
It's going to be very low key. I want to just go up there with a chair, and I have a pile of books. I want to just do a little reading. I've tried to make the books relevant to what I think a plinther might read. I have a little bit of fun along that, but basically just me, a chair, a few books which I will read a bit, look around a bit, maybe take a photo. I don't have a real plan worked out for it, because I just think until you get up there you're not quite sure. But I know just by what I'm taking up there, which is that kind of thing, I'm not going to do anything very exciting maybe to people looking on. But to me, it'll be exciting because it's me. I am a sort of quieter, more reflective person, and that's the way I want to spend the hour, because I think that's what it's about, is being me and not trying to use it as a stage to promote myself in any way. Otherwise, I might have applied for something completely different. So it's a quiet, reflective time. Maybe I will speak, maybe I won't. I mean, again, I don't know. That's as the mood will take me.
Tell me a little bit more about the books that you're going to take up.
Well, I enjoy reading in all forms, and I love the written word. I used to be a freelance editor, and I love playing with words. So I don't know how much I should reveal to you on this, but I've just maybe changed a few titles that are more relevant to plinthers. So you might see a book up there called Plinth and Plinthability, for instance, but that kind of thing, just being a little bit silly.
You mentioned your previous job as an editor. Can you tell me more about the role you had before you retired? What did you do?
Well, it was always part-time. I'm of the generation of women who gave up their career when they had a family. That was the way it was, and therefore I travelled around the country a lot with my husband's job, and the easiest thing for me to do was to do something freelance where I could work from home. And freelance editing was just ideal. It was mainly looking in either universities or for academics, helping them with papers they were publishing, and also in the field of education. So it was quite academic and quite dry, but if you love words and you love trying to make something more readable and more understandable, the subject matter doesn't really matter that much.
Were you always intrigued by words when you were a child? Or?
Always, yes. I read a lot as a child. I'm an only child, and I think that was my form of company and escapism as a child. So, yes, I've always loved words. At school, I was always drawn to language-based activities. So yes, that's always been my interest, because anybody will tell me anything practical or scientific, I'm a complete no-no. So we have to have something that we're good at. That was it really for me.
What was it like working and raising a family at the same time?
It was more raising family than working, to be honest, and it was always just fitting around the family. And the fact that we lived in lots of different locations because of my husband's job. So the work was very much secondary to everything else, really. And I don't regret that at all. And I look at my own two daughters and how they juggle everything, particularly my daughter who has children, and I don't envy them one little bit, because I think it's a hard choice to make and they're racked with guilt, whatever they do. So I think I had the best times, really.
Now that you have retired, presumably you've got a little bit more time to spend doing the things you want to do. What type of things do you do?
We like travel. I hadn't travelled a lot because I'd always been terrified of flying. And just before my 60th birthday, my husband asked me what I'd like to do. And I said, somewhat flippantly, because I'd seen a television programme about Cape Town, I said, oh, I'd like to climb Table Mountain. He said, okay, let's do it. So I went off to Cape Town for my 60th birthday and did indeed. We climbed Table Mountain for that, and we've done a bit of travel since. I don't really know where the time goes, and retired people always say this to you, oh, I've never been so busy. But when you ask, it's quite hard to put your finger on it, but there are things going on, and you just can go away when you want, you can visit your family when you want, get up when you want. It's great. Recommend it.
So how did it feel to have to confront this fear of flying and go on to the other side of the world?
It was very scary, because I'd been frightened of flying for years and years and years, and I hadn't flown for a very long time. I had even been on a fear of flying course, which I thought had helped until my very first flight after it went through a thunderstorm and was all pretty ghastly, so I kind of felt I was back to square one. But I really wanted to do this. I really wanted to go, and the chance to go and do something like that was so great that I did it. And but that's okay. So maybe the plinth will be okay too. A bit like fear of flying, but yes. Yeah.
Do you have any reservations or concerns about it?
About the plinth? I suppose it's just a big step into the unknown, but no, I think I just take it as it comes and see what happens. But it is a bit strange because you have no experience of anything like that in your life. You can't rehearse for it or imagine what it might be. It's quite outside the scope of anything that I've done before. And yet it's a bit of fun. It's nothing like, I mean, I look at people who are, you know, coping with illness or whatever. In fact, I'm hoping to raise some money for Macmillan Cancer Support, mainly because people said to me, are you doing this for charity? And I wasn't doing it for charity. I'm not out there to promote the charity or stand up there as a spokesman for the charity. But I should think, well, you know what, this is quite a self-indulgent thing I'm doing. It is all about me and what I feel about it. And I thought, you know, if people are happy to sponsor what I call my moment of madness when I click that button and said, I'll go on the plinth, then I'm very happy about that. So, yeah, and that again, I think, is something that I would keep me going. You know, if I'm uncomfortable up there, if the experience is uncomfortable, you think, well, this is really nothing in the scale of things. So I think you have to just put it in proportion, really, if I can anyway. It's easy to say, perhaps.
How does it feel to be doing something which is all about you?
It's quite, I guess, quite a strange feeling to think of it, because why are you doing this, people say, and I'm doing it for the experience, for me, and I don't know, that does seem very selfish, but why not, you know? That's the only way I can describe it, really.
How do you describe yourself as a person?
Fairly reserved, fairly private person, so, you know, putting yourself out there and probably being looked at like an animal in a zoo or whatever, you know, that is not at all me. It's, I suppose you'd say, outside my comfort zone, a phrase I use very often. But yeah, I think it's not really me, because I am much quieter and much more reserved, more private person.
Is there anything else you'd like to say?
I can't think of anything. I should have thought this through, but no, I can't. Probably exhausted all my possibilities have gone.
Thank you very much.